Happy holidays, comic book fans. This is Pete from Comic Book Transform, where we talk about the streaming shows and movies that are based on your favorite comics. This time around, as we get closer to Christmas, it's time to talk about a very holiday-themed Batman mystery. We're talking about Batman, The Long Halloween. And Brian...
Part one.
Thank you. Brian, have you ever noticed that this comic is like the inspiration for like every fucking Batman movie that's ever come out?
Yeah. I mean, you could argue this in year one. Yes.
Right. This in year one. And of course there's, you know, the Tim Burton and Joel Schumacher Batman movies, but I'm talking about like all the modern things from like Christian Bale, Robert Pattinson, Ben Affleck. You know, this is a big inspiration for all of them.
Yeah, along with Dark Knight Returns, too. So, like, Batman Begins, to me, is more year one, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Dark Knight is this.
Right. And then The Batman is this.
Yes, yeah. It's only weird thinking about those two movies existing and how similar they are.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. So, for Batman The Long Halloween, it's two parts, and it's got this voice cast. I actually did not know who anyone was until I saw the credits, and I was like, "Oh shit, they're in this movie." Did you know?
Who was in this movie? I recognize a couple voices in here, but I mean, you know, obviously the one that stands out the most to me was Jensen Ackles as Batman.
Yeah. Now, of course, if we're going to mention Jensen Ackles in a animated movie, of which this is the 44th DC animated original film, I go back to my favorite DC animated original film, Batman Under the
Red Hood. Under the Hood.
Yeah, that is like my favorite one. I love that one.
Yeah, that was always a good one, yes. And that Jensen Ackles plays Jason Todd.
Yes. Do you think he does a good job as Batman?
Yeah, I like him as Batman, but he doesn't change his voice at all for Bruce, and that kind of bugs me a little bit.
Yeah, I think he does a good job, but I like him a lot better as Jason Todd, and he's good as Batman, but to me it just feels like it's Dean Winchester being like, oh, I get to be Batman in a movie? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I feel like he had a little, I mean, rightfully so because of the character, had a lot more angst when he played, or a lot more emotion when he played Jason Todd than here. Right. But I mean, that kind of makes sense though, because Jason was very angry, and this is the, you know, the dark brooding Batman. So I kind of see it working. It was working for this. But like I said, his Bruce is exactly the same voice, and to the point where it's like, oh, really?
Yeah. I think he does a good job, but then. You know, I'm kind of jumping ahead here. The guy that does Joker,
Troy Baker.
He's like just trying to be Mark Hamill. Like it's just like it's Mark Hamill essentially.
So, and then just a note too. This is the second time he's played the Joker, at least the second, because he also he played the Joker in the Arkham trilogy prequel game. Oh my God, what was it called? I don't remember what it's called. It came out before Arkham Knight. So it was like the third game, but it was a prequel, and it was a different Batman and a different Joker. But it was supposed to be, you know, basically this.
Oh, okay. Yet again. Right. Well, then it brings up, you know, Harvey. He's played by Josh Duhamel.
Yep.
And it's funny because you have sort of the Batman the Animated Series voices, which are like so entwined in my head is like, oh, that's the voice of Joker, that's Batman's voice. Harvey's voice, I always thought that Harvey had a really great voice, and you want to talk about how Jensen Ackles doesn't rotate between Bruce and Batman. In the original animated series, the guy that would do the voice for Harvey, I thought that like there was that kind of Harvey innocent kind of calm voice, and there was that Two-Face voice, and I thought that he did a really good job in that old animated series show.
Yeah, totally.
But then I'm very curious as to what Josh Duhamel's voice is going to be like when he's Two-Face.
Yeah, I think he did a decent job here. There was a couple times where he gets a little more emotional that I feel like it came a little flat. But yeah. I think generally his normal speaking voice works pretty well for Harvey here.
Right. Because Josh Duhamel is always this guy that kind of has like swagger. He's like a cool guy. And that's the way that Harvey should be. before he kind of goes over the deep end. This movie, and I just want to kind of round out the voice cast before we go into things about like specific characters, but like Naya Rivera plays Catwoman, and I actually really liked her take on the character. She kind of seemed like young and fun. And she kind of like her voice matches the way she looks in this movie.
Yes, 100%.
But then it's crazy because this actress died. This was her last movie.
Yeah, it's a very tragic. And you see that in memoriam notice at the end of it. I don't remember if she finished the second one.
Oh, wow.
Beforehand, I don't remember off the top of that. But did you know how she died?
I do not.
It was crazy. I remember reading about this. So she was like at some like reservoir with her son, and her son like fell overboard, and she dove in after him, and the son came back, got back up, but she never resurfaced.
Jesus.
And they didn't find her for like a couple days later.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like real tragic, you know, especially considering, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I was enjoying her in this, and then I saw like some pictures of her. I know she was like in Glee, right?
Yeah.
Before this. Yeah. I mean, she had so much potential. That's a crazy story. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they do the little dedication to her at the end. And then let's just think about who else is in this movie real quick. I'm not very familiar with Julie Nathanson, but she plays Gilda, Harvey's wife. She's a Silver Banshee, and there's a Suicide Squad movie in that previous universe. And she's Silver Banshee in that movie. And then she's also...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and she's Yelena Belova in one of the Marvel cartoons, too.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Then... Billy Burke plays Gordon. Billy Burke is like the dad from Twilight. And he was also in that show where like all the power goes out that I think was done by Eric Kripke too.
I don't remember that, but
it was something like Pulse or something like that. But it was like the show where like there's no technology anymore and like people use swords and shit.
Oh, that wasn't Jericho, was it? No.
No, but that's a good guess. It's kind of around that time. And it had the guy that plays Gus from Breaking Bad, Giancarlo Esposito, was like the bad guy on it. Yeah.
I don't remember it. But Billy Burke to me is he always seems like I always used to get him confused with Billy Crudup.
Oh,
sort of similar.
Yeah. I can see that. That's a good point. Yeah, and they're kind of from the same kind of time too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we have freaking Dave. I could never say his fucking last name. Dasmalchian?
Dude, Dasmalchian, yeah. It's Calendar Man, yeah. So, I mean, we probably, people or anyone watching this show might remember him from Ant-Man.
Right.
And as Polka Dot Man in The Suicide Squad.
Right. And then another thing is he's in The Dark Knight, which is like very influenced by
right.
This.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's that, that kind of goofy for the Joker. In The Dark Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of these people, they just kind of get their foot in the door for DC, and then all of a sudden they're in animated stuff, or they might be like a supporting person. But he does a really great job as Calendar Man.
Yeah.
And totally. Calendar Man is like very relevant for this particular story.
Yes. Because, you know, calendars and killings on holidays, yes.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the comic of this?
I was one of my questions I'm gonna ask you is where does this rank in your all-time Batman story list? And for me, this is like an easy two or three.
Right. It's hard to put number one. I would put the Dark Knight Returns maybe as number one. Okay. I mean it's always like the same four, right? It's like the Dark Knight Returns, the Killing Joke, Long Halloween, and Year One. Right, it's like those four are like the Batman stories.
Yep,
and someone might argue like Hush is a fifth, but I don't necessarily think that Hush is on the same level as these four.
Yeah, but I mean, it tried to follow in the footsteps of this, really.
Right, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, this is like a solid two. I think because if you put either Year One or Dark Knight Returns, those are more like groundbreaking and definitive for Batman. Whereas this is like maybe the Batman story, but I don't feel like it like changed Batman the way that those two stories did.
I agree. That's a perfect way to put it, actually.
Thank you. I have my moments. This deviates a little bit from the comic, though, doesn't it? Like, I think for the actual killer, I think it maybe is changing who the killer is, right?
I don't think so. So I have not read the story in a while. And, you know, it is like a 12 or 13 issue series. So yeah. Didn't have enough time to delve back into it beforehand. But, I mean, do we want to spoil it? Is it a spoiler? We're reviewing something that came out 2 years ago based on a story that's almost 30 years old.
Yeah, let's just jump into spoilers. Guys, if you are for some weird reason watching our video and not reading the comic or watching the movie, just go watch the movie, man, and read the comic too. It's really fucking good. But yeah, so who's the killer in the comic?
It is Alberto Falcone, who is also talking about voice cast too. That's Jack Quaid from The Boys.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I was surprised you didn't say him. And then also Carmine Falcone is Titus Welliver, who was the man in black from Lost. And a bunch of things. I thought he did a really good job, honestly.
I totally agree.
But yeah, it's so if this, honestly, the first time I read this book, I was very confused by it. It is a little in depth and it's a little hard to follow on occasion.
Yeah.
But I always do love, I think this is the kind of story that Batman works best in.
100%
agree. With this organized crime stuff. Like I just think that's like the best kind of Batman stuff, but they don't really do that as much anymore.
Yeah.
But I always did like the transition from early Batman was like against organized crime, and then it kind of bleeds into like the costume killers and, you know, afterwards. But right. So Alberto fakes his death, and that's why that kind of throws you off his trail there. And then it's implied that there were two, and that it was Harvey, I believe.
Okay.
But
okay.
I could be totally wrong. I don't know.
Okay. I'm really glad that I'm watching this with you and that like you kind of know what you're talking about, because for me watching this, I was like, isn't Alberto the killer? And then he gets shot and he falls off the boat. And I was like, wait, isn't there something where it's like the aunt is the killer, or there's a sister and she's I was thinking there was something to do with his.
The sister who you see prominently in the background, but she doesn't speak. She gets killed eventually.
Okay, she gets killed too. Because when you see the end of this movie, we're just jumping right to the end here. Like, they're on this boat, and Holiday shoots Alberto. And when the muzzle flash goes off, it looks like Harvey's face.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, Harvey's the killer? And I just didn't remember Harvey being connected at all.
Okay, so they don't connect him. The way the case is solved is that Alberto was the sole killer, I believe.
Okay.
But like it's implied that they were sort of operating jointly, but without really actually working together.
Yeah.
They're both sort of doing the same thing, and like unbeknownst to the other, but like they weren't like getting together and planning it, sort of, you know.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, then that explains Harvey at the end. Did they do the thing with like the fucking baby nipple stuff on the gun?
I believe that was how they did it. That was like the signature of the Holiday Killer. Yeah,
Holiday Killer. Besides killing people on holidays.
Yeah, I think it was. It was like the makeshift silencer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so well done. Like as far as these like animated Batman movies go, right? There's some really really good ones. There's Under the Red Hood, Under the Hood or whatever, which I love. And then there's this, and there's fuck, god damn it, I just had it in my head. Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh yeah.
So, Mask of the Phantasm and this and Under the Hood all have that thing that you're talking about, which is like there's like the organized crime part, and then there's like the, oh well, these freaks sort of come out of Batman, like Batman's presence makes these freaks show up and they kind of take everything to the next level, but we have to start with the baseline crime stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, and it kind of ties back. You have like Phantasm and you have all the organized crime in Mask of the Phantasm. And then this, and then, I mean, it that is what the Dark Knight is too.
Yeah.
You know, I love that kind of stuff. And Then also in the comic of this, so we're already fully spoiling, this is where you get the revelation that Catwoman is Falcone's daughter.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Right. Which that's a big part of the Batman, is that Catwoman is Falcone's daughter.
Yes. And it's funny because the two movies that most closely adapt this story don't feature the Holiday Killer.
Right.
Like The Dark Knight is this movie minus the Holiday Killer.
Right.
And, you know, the Batman is just with, instead it's the Riddler instead of the Holiday Killer, basically.
Right. Yeah, and even in the Batman, the first kill is like on fucking Halloween, right?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, which is just like this too, yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing that ties the Batman to this is, I know that they always would say that they're showing that Batman has to get better as a detective in the Batman. And then in this movie, Bruce says something to Alfred. He's like, I didn't know Batman would have to be such a good detective. He says something like that in this movie.
And a few characters call him out saying he needs to be better at it too.
Right. Yeah. So there's all this like overlap, but it's just so good. And then like one of the things that connects this to The Dark Knight is like the Gordon Batman Dent Trinity.
Yes.
You know, like they have a sequence, and of course they have the thing with Harvey where it's like, oh, I got the two-sided coin, that's why my luck is so good. Or yeah, it is two-sided, right? Yeah. And so there's that sequence where they find all the money. Did that happen in the comic too?
I think so, yeah. He burned it and he chooses to burn it down.
Yeah, that doesn't really seem like Batman to me, where he's like,
oh, it was Harvey.
Right, but like the fact that
Batman allowing it, yeah, because like Catwoman was like, "I'm out of here. Like, give me a few minutes to get out of here first."
Yeah. And but even that money, that's like in The Dark Knight when the Joker has that huge pile of the mob's money too, and he burns it down.
Yeah.
So, tell me what you think about Josh Duhamel and Harvey in this movie.
I think they play it really well. They really play up the level of stress he has over this, this whole thing. And then especially when his key witness gets killed. And I really like how they played up the relationship and his absence from his relationship with Gilda. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fantastically done in this year. And I think that ends up being part of you know, the resolution and the implication that Harvey was involved in some of these murders. Yes. I mean, he definitely kills somebody in the next one.
He's Two-Face. Yeah. It's funny because I haven't read these comics since like probably since they first came out, or maybe like a year after they first came out. And then when his house blows up, I was like, oh fuck, is he Two-Face already? But then like, it's just everyone's fine after that.
Yeah, no, that happens a bit later. But yeah, that's in retaliation to burn the money. I mean.
Yeah, right. You are 100% on the money that the stuff with his wife is so good. I mean, you definitely feel that tension in this movie between the two of them.
Yeah.
And you could really feel how like just sad and depressed his wife is.
Yeah.
They do a really good
job. And that was a highlight of this movie, which is sounds weird to say out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy this guy's wife is so depressed.
Yeah. I love that fucking depressed stay-at-home wife. It's awesome. She'd get her career as a lawyer. Good. No. But, you know, it's funny because I wanted to make the point that these movies are, like, not for kids at all. They're just, like, straight-up adult crime dark movies. But yet, there's a couple of really good action sequences in this, too.
Yeah, especially I would highlight Batman fighting the Triad guys.
Yes,
was really great. Even the scene where Batman's chasing Catwoman across Gotham was really good.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? There was another one.
Is Joker in the plane?
Oh, Joker in the plane. Yeah, Joker stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you might even argue. I mean, I wouldn't say this was necessarily an action sequence, but it's a very tense sequence when Joker's in Harvey's house.
Yes.
That's a really cool. I like when he's like putting the ornaments on the tree and he's like singing, but he's changing the lyrics. It's a very like Joker thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess I think the guy does a good job, but it's like, it's so like, he's so Mark Hamill. It kind of, it takes me out of it.
Well, I think that was done intentionally, probably.
Intentionally. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Troy Baker is a very, very good voice actor.
Oh, like, sure. Like, sure. Sure. He's been in tons of things
and games and like all time great performances. So
yeah, if he was given the direction to emulate Mark Hamill, he does that to a T. Like, I, at some points, I was like, wait a minute, is it Mark Hamill?
Oh,
like,
Kristen was in the other room while I was watching this, and she's like, wait, is that Mark Hamill? I'm like, nope, it's Troy Baker.
Yeah. And I mean, even the stuff with the Joker, like, I love the Joker so much. They have that one sequence where Batman's in Arkham, and it looks like the Joker's, like, laying down on his bed or whatever, and then it's like just shit or something, right? Like, they pulls up the covers and it's just like a pile of shit, right?
Yeah, and I love how the guard reacts. It's like they had someone get to my son, and like he just breaks down. He's like, he feels so bad about it. Like, right. I actually felt it, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the way they build up Joker, this is the Joker I like best, where he's sort of like a hired killer, but he's sort of plays by his own rules, sort of.
Right.
And not completely, you know, just so obsessed with just Batman all the time, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it's like Calendar Man insinuates that he's not there. And then, you know, Batman goes running. And then that happens. And it's like, you feel like a chill in the air, sort of, you know, like, oh shit, the Joker's out, you know?
Right. Yeah, when the Joker gets out, it's bad news. Yeah. And he's funny too. When he takes over the plane, like, he just has all these dead people on the ground, and he's like, pilot dead, check, you know, and then the ground crew, check. And then he's flying the plane. I remember he says this one joke to Batman that's so ridiculous. He says, I'm like the colonel, I'll never be number two. Remember he says that? I just love that. It's so gross.
He says something to the effect of like, I hope this goes okay, because I don't know how to fly this.
Right. Yeah, I love that kind of like fucking lunatic, you know? It's so good. And I remember distinctly that comic. One of the issues starts out with him on the plane, and Batman's already like chasing after him.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the way they end this. They end it with you think that Alberto is the killer, but then he gets shot and he falls off the boat. And now you've clarified for me that he's essentially faking his death there. I was just trying to think because I wanted to cover. Oh, so the triad battle is really good. It's sort of like the main action piece in this movie. Yep. And then the guy that is in charge, I think he's Mickey Chen.
Yeah.
Right? Mickey Chen goes into the sewer, and then Solomon Grundy's down there. And I think I remember him from the comic, but I was like, oh, shit, Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, I always felt that was a weird inclusion, but it makes sense. I mean, he is very mob-related, really, you know?
Yes.
Like, you're still used to seeing him in like Legion of Doom settings.
Yes.
That you forget that like his whole thing is related to the mob, you know?
Right. And you know, we talked about in our last video, Alan Scott. Solomon Grundy, I believe, is originally a Green Lantern Alan Scott villain. And Alan Scott, his comic was set in Gotham City. It wasn't necessarily Batman's Gotham City. But when it said like where it took place, it was Gotham. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like overlaps. I'm just trying to think of what else I wanted to talk about real quick. I guess like there's the framing device of the holiday killings themselves. And I actually really like for this movie where like they'll show the dead body and then it'll just say like what the holiday is next to it. I really like that.
Yeah, it felt like very much like a Batman the Animated Series title card, which I really like. And I mean, just this is more credit to the story in general, but I love how this takes place over such a long period of time.
Yes.
I feel like most comics, they have that sliding time scale. And, you know, like where if you were to logically look at it, like all these things happen in succession, you know, in like a week.
Yeah. But, even.
Yeah.
It's like 2 days or something.
Yeah. If you look at the X-Men and like all the shit they go through and you figure out, like by ages and stuff like that, it's like, oh my god, they went from, you know, Asteroid M to Age of Apocalypse in like 2 days.
Yeah. But that's a really shitty 2 days, man.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, like Wolverine got his adamantium ripped out and he like came back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you look at it like Genosha is like 1 year, and then Krakoa was the next. I was like, what?
Yeah. I actually kind of hate that shit, honestly.
But the fact that this is spread out over a year really accentuates how good of a you know crime noir story this is.
Yeah. It's so fucking well done. It's so adult. I mean, this could just be a live action movie, and it would work. And there would be no hokiness to it. You know, it'd just be this great movie. I mean, but that's because so many pieces of the comic have already been cut and put into very good movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've already said that this basically has been two movies already.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And, well, just don't get me wrong. I don't think that the Batman is a masterpiece. I think there's some really, really good things in the Batman. I just don't think that it's like on the same level as The Dark Knight.
No, I don't think so. I think it's possibly the runtime. I think that runs a little long, but we don't have to get into that.
Jesus Christ, yes.
The last thing I want to say here is that, again, another reason why I love this is I just love the kind of like 1950s aesthetic with Batman. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the animated series.
Yes.
And all that. And a little weird. Like I said, this is a little weird because like everyone's dressing in fedoras and trench coats, and they have these very 1950s cars everywhere. And then, like, Harvey whips out, like, a smartphone with a tracking device. That warehouse there. And it's like, how do they make this work?
Yeah. Agreed. That was what Batman the Animated Series did so well. It just kind of captures that feeling of when the Batman comic came out, which is, like, the 30s or whatever. And, you know, those old cars and, like, the mafia bosses. Yeah, I love that aesthetic, too. I love Batman's, like, this fucking souped up futuristic Batmobile chasing like an old 1930s car, you know, and I just love that sequence. It's just great. Like you see the Batmobile in the rear of your mirror and the way he's chasing them. It's so good. It is very reminiscent of Batman, the animated series, but you know, I think it just kind of works on its own too. Is this your favorite out of these three?
Well, I mean, I'm going to reserve that until we cover the part two. Honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, probably. Yeah. Cause this is like peak Batman, storyline. So,
okay.
And it's beloved for a reason. So,
yeah, good point. Okay. Well, yeah. So guys, we've been covering, the Tomorrowverse movies. We're going to do Batman, the Long Halloween part two next time. Also on our channel, if you guys are into Doctor Who, I have covered the three anniversary specials with my friend Mike Bongiorno. So that's also on Comic Books Transformed. Make sure that you guys subscribe. And we're going to do Long Halloween next. And then after that is Legion of Superheroes, which I already started that one accidentally. And I was digging that one too. So, yeah.
Don't forget, we got Aquaman 2 coming soon.
Oh!
And What If?
Yeah! No. Oh, Jesus Christ. See, I was going to say, like, Merry Christmas to them, but it's like, holy shit, we have, like, five things to cover before then.
Yeah, we were worried about not having anything, and then everything comes out. And then, you know, early next year, we'll have X-Men and Echo and probably something else I'm forgetting. Something Star
X-Men,
Wars.
X-Men 97?
I think it's January, sometime in January, yeah.
Oh, my God, my nipples just got hard. Nice. That's probably because I'm really fucking cold in my garage. But anyway... this has been Pete and Brian. Sounds like we have a lot of shit to review. Make sure you subscribe. We love you, and we'll see you guys next time.